Many of you have complimented the logo for the About Greyhounds podcast, and several of you have asked us to make it available on a t-shirt. Well, your wish is our command. In the description of the episode you're about to hear, there's a link to where you can get the t-shirt. You can also go to cafepress.com/GFNJ to see the available t-shirts. They come in many sizes, in several different styles for both men and women. 100% of the profits from the sale of these t-shirts goes directly to Greyhound Friends of New Jersey to help us move more Greyhounds from their racing careers and into loving homes for their retirements. Hello, and welcome to About Greyhounds, the podcast about greyhounds. This is Jacqueline Howard of Greyhound Friends of New Jersey. You know, way back in episode one of this podcast, we talked with Linda Lyman. She's the president of Greyhound Friends of New Jersey. And she talked to us about the adoption process and what all of that entails and some of the things to think about before you adopt and a little bit about after you adopt. But what's it like to go through that process from the adopter's point of view, especially when it's the adopter's first Greyhounds? We're about to find out. Today, our guest is Dani Kramer. It's been about a month since she adopted her first Greyhound from Greyhound Friends of New Jersey, and I am so excited that she's going to share her experience with us. Welcome to About Greyhounds, Dani.
Thank you so much for having me.
Of course. So, Dani, before we really get into the adoption end of things, tell me a little bit about your home life. For example, like, do you have a big family, small family? Are you working outside the home? What kind of environment is it?
So, great question. My home is rather small. It is myself, my husband, and our 1.5-year-old, Miles. We live in a townhouse. It does not have a fenced-in yard. It pretty much has no yard. And my husband and I are both full-time career people, so we are gone a majority of the day, and Miles is in daycare.
Oh, wow. Okay. So your house sounds very similar to mine, at least a few years back. My kids are now 11 and 15, and we still have the busyness. Baby's a little harder, maybe a lot harder. But yeah, I hear you with both parents working, kids in either daycare or school. Things get really, really busy. My family fostered your Greyhound. He's a beautiful male whose name was, and I hate to say it, Venom. It was truly a misnomer, as he couldn't be any more sweet. Dani, I love the name you chose for him. Share with our audience what it is and why you chose it.
His name is Moose. And you are exactly right. Venom is so unapproachable and completely opposite of the demeanor that he portrays. So for the first, I think, 2 days, we referred to him as nothing. We just kind of kept trying all of these names. I was really rooting for a Harry Potter theme. I tried to get my husband to fall for Weasley. He did not take it. But then we just started commenting on his size.
He's a big
because
boy.
Because he is... While he is underweight right now, and we are working on that, he is tall and he is big.
Yeah.
And you don't realize his size until you get him into a house and realize that without any effort, he can put his full nose on the counter. Moose just kind of came naturally because it does feel as though we have this gigantic moose in the house.
He is a big moose, but he's so cute.
He is. He's so sweet and so affectionate, and Venom just does not go with him whatsoever.
So I want to go back to before you adopted Moose. Like, when did you first start thinking about adopting a Greyhound, and what made you decide to add a Greyhound to your family?
So in all honesty, what made us think about adopting a Greyhound was a festival that we had visited 1 week prior to adopting him.
Oh, wow.
And I know that seems absolutely insane. But the the truth is, we have always had dogs. My husband and I had a dog that we loved so much for 7 years. We had adopted him. He was a Shih Tzu. We adopted him because I am very, very allergic to dogs. Shih Tzus happen to be one of the dogs that I can tolerate. And he was our baby. He was our child. And unfortunately, when Miles was 10 months old, he came down with pancreatic cancer. And we had to make the decision to put him to sleep. And it was heart-wrenching, and it was also very hard to think about how could we ever bring another dog into our life. Baxter was a unique dog. He was essentially a 70-year-old man trapped in a little tiny white dog's body. He loved nothing more than to lay in his bed and curl up on your lap. Aww. And I thought, there is no way that I will ever find a dog this cuddly, this low maintenance, this non-noisy, like he didn't bark at all, and this patient. And then we happened to be at a festival, and there was another organization there that was just giving out pamphlets on greyhounds. And we had donated money. Miles went up and was petting the dogs, and I'd always seen greyhounds around, and I was enamored by the grace they have when they walk, and always thought, oh, it would be so nice to have them. Also, my husband is obsessed with big dogs. Truly, as am I. I love the idea of having a dog that is so large but doesn't know it and wants to curl up in your lap. So we really thought that was unobtainable. In this pamphlet, it happened to say something about allergies tend to be less with greyhounds because of the lack of oils in their skin, and that they have been shown that some people with asthma don't really get affected by that. And it kind of just, a light bulb went off that this could be the perfect solution of a dog that is not rambunctious, is not, you know, going to bother my allergies potentially, and meet that big criteria that we wanted. So that's when we started doing research. And we also knew that we wanted to adopt because we have a 1.5-year-old, and I did not want to go through the puppy stage.
Right.
Couldn't do it.
I hear you. And, you know, it's so funny that you mention allergies and asthma. I have asthma, as does my husband, Al, and one of our sons has asthma. And all of us are triggered by dogs, most dogs, I should say. And we very much followed, I think, maybe the same path as we learned more and more about greyhounds, because we did want a very big dog, even though we were allergic, and we didn't want a puppy. We wanted a dog that was somewhat trained and that we could leave at home while we were at work and not worry that, oh, the poor dog is all alone because they sleep so much. So you don't worry about that with greyhounds.
As I was reading all about them, I almost came to the realization that Baxter, my first dog, was a greyhound trapped in a Shih Tzu's body.
That very well may be. And I'd like to think that Baxter sent Moose to you, you know, so that you could have him in your life and love another dog and really pay homage to Baxter through Moose.
Absolutely. Baxter happened to come to us after we lost another dog to kidney failure. And it was just one of those things where, you know, the love we had for that dog opened us up to adopt another dog that was in need. And that love then transitioned over to inviting Moose into our home and our family.
Wow. So, wow, I didn't realize it was a week between, like, first seeing them and then coming to a Greyhound Friends of New Jersey adoption day and actually leaving with this big giant moose. So what kind of research and learning did you do from the time you left the festival until you came to Greyhound Friends of New Jersey?
So I will be the first one to admit that I am quite obsessive when I decide that I want something or that I like something, as is my husband. However, I'm more research focused. He's more just like, we got to make this happen somehow, and I'm the means behind making it happen. So I think the first thing we did was we went to Pet Finder to see what dogs were available in our area. And from there, as we were looking at the dogs, I started going to each one of the shelters' websites and reading all of the information that they had. In that, I found Bernie Engine, which is one of the dogs that Greyhound Friends of New Jersey happened to have at the time. So I was led to your website, read all of the information on there. I think I stayed up until like 1 a.m. one night putting in my application.
Oh, wow.
because, again, just obsessive and was so fascinated by everything I was reading and almost being like, I can't believe this actually could be something that is obtainable for me. Again, being that I have such severe allergies.
Yeah.
So that was kind of the research that we did. And then also I had to test out the dog. So we did find a kennel near us that is specifically housed for greyhounds, and they had walking hours. So I was actually able to go into a room with like 50 to 60 greyhounds and see if my allergies would actually act up. And I am so thankful to say that they didn't act up there, and we've now had Moose for close to a month, and I have not had any ill effects of him.
I often hear people saying that greyhounds are hypoallergenic. And I do have to correct them when I say that. There really isn't such a thing as a hypoallergenic dog. But there are dogs, like you said, Danny, that people with allergies or asthma can certainly be around. We mentioned this, I can't say it, Shizitsu. Thank you. I always struggle with that one.
I think you're supposed to say Shih Tzu. But of course I am like the American who's like, it's a shit crew.
And you do better than me. So that's good. And of course, greyhounds. Now, you know, there are people who will be allergic to greyhounds, but I love what you did. I love that you found, a place where you could be around some greyhounds and test that out and see how you did. I mean, that was really smart to do. So were there a lot of greyhounds where you went?
There was a ton. The kennel is exclusive to greyhounds. It is also an adoption facility, which we could have gone with. At that point, we were just already had the application in with Greyhound Friends.
Right.
And we were really into Ernie at the time. Also, we had just like had conversations with Linda and Sue, and I really just wanted to pursue adopting through you guys because you had such a supportive community. But we did walk these dogs, and another thing that we wanted to do was we brought Miles with us, and we wanted to see, was there any intimidation
right
from him? What was his reaction? And we learned a good amount. I think the one day that we went walking, we walked at least 5, maybe 6 greyhounds, and that opened my eyes to some of the questions that I needed to ask when I came to the adoption day at Greyhound Friends. One of those things was, can I walk them next to the stroller? Because mm-hmm. there were some dogs that were fine with it, and there were some dogs that we had to take by ourselves, and, you know, one of us had to go off with Miles, and one had to go off with the dog, because they were so fearful of walking next to the stroller.
Oh, sure. And that's because it was something brand new to them. I'm sure.
Absolutely brand new.
Yeah.
It is not only a contraption that is new, it was a dark stroller, and it has something that's talking out of it. I'm sure that's right. Very intimidating.
Right. Yeah, because many of them haven't seen a baby or a small child, let alone the stroller. So many of them get used to that, like they get used to vacuums or hair dryers, for example. But it does take, for the ones that were fearful, it would have taken like some training and some time. So I'm glad that you tested them out and to see how that would go. That's really great.
Absolutely. And one of the things was, I by no means am scared off by a dog that is timid, but I did not want to bring a fearful dog
sure.
around Miles, because I feel like I was just asking for trouble
yep.
in the, you know, lifestyle that we have, should Tony and I have been a single couple, you know, no kids, it would have been a different story. We would have been able to really foster a dog's courage, but I can't take that chance when I have Miles. So I needed a dog that, while possibly timid, didn't have fear of those very basic things that were going to come into our life day after day after day from the beginning.
That was so smart, and there really isn't anything more dangerous, in my opinion, than a fearful dog who's in the act of being scared. So really, that was great. Really smart. So you did your research. You met the dogs. Your application was approved. From there, I know that you looked online and you saw Ernie Engine, mm-hmm. that is, who, by the way, he was adopted this weekend, I'm happy to say.
Yay!
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so happy to hear that.
Yeah, a wonderful couple adopted him, so we're happy for the three of them. So what were the next steps after all of that?
So I actually don't even think that we waited for our application to be approved. I'm pretty sure, if I'm remembering correctly, I put our adoption in Saturday at like 1 a.m. By Monday, my husband was chomping at the bit so much, he called Linda Lyman to like ask what the next steps are. And I'm pretty sure she hadn't even seen our email come through. She was questioning why we were so eager to get a dog immediately. But she spoke to my husband, pretty much gave him homework, told him to go online and order retired racing greyhounds for dummies.
Sure.
And to go online, read all of the articles. At that time, I don't think I had admitted to him that I hadn't slept and had gone and read all of the articles. So after I had called her, just gave her a little update into the fact that I am obsessive and had done all of this research, and let her know that we were interested in Ernie. In speaking with her, though, she was very wise to say, you know, absolutely understand you're interested in Ernie. Have you taken a look at some of these other dogs? Because while Ernie is possibly great for you, there are some others that may be great as well. So in talking with Sue Smith and in talking with the Fosters, you may find that there's a better fit. But she also gave me Sue Smith's number, and I called Sue, and she was phenomenal. So not only did she tell me about Ernie, but she told me about greyhounds in general, and that was really, really helpful, because Linda comes from it from a very sense of she wants to make sure everyone understands what they're prepared for,
right,
and getting themselves into, especially in the first month, I would say.
Yes.
So she wants everyone to know that, like, they are dealing with a dog that is coming potentially straight from the track, that there are these nuances that you're going to have to get through. And she wants to make sure everyone's prepared for that.
Right.
But in speaking with her, I don't know that I ever really got the sense of, oh God, will this dog ever be able to curl up with me on the couch? Like, can I expect it to be that family dog I want it to be? Sue was able to open my eyes to that and say, absolutely, there's going to be a transition period, but after that transition period, you absolutely will have a dog that is really that couch potato that you're looking for, and someone who is happy just to go on strolls around the community with you.
Right.
So that, coupled with, we did go back on Pet Finder and looked at some of the other dogs that Linda suggested, and one of those was Venom. And in looking at the Greyhound for Friends Facebook group, because again, obsessive, had to find everything that you guys were doing, I found out that he was going to be at the adoption day. So I packed up Miles and went to the adoption day.
That's funny. And you made me laugh with the homework. I should tell you, Linda, by day, is a professor in a few colleges, actually. So so it's funny.
Makes so much sense.
Yeah. So, but yeah, but that's one of the things Linda does is, for anyone listening that, you know, is going to embark on this process, is Linda will assign quote-unquote homework, and that's getting Retired Racing Greyhounds for Dummies, which I love that book. I just love it. I love everything about it. And I, you know, I've had Greyhounds for 17 years, and I'll still reference it, you know, sometimes. And she'll ask you to read. We have different articles on our website. And so it's not bad homework, you know, it's just, you know, she wants you to, you know, understand what,
absolutely.
Yeah.
And to your point, I have read the book, granted, I would say more skimmed than read page
right,
to page,
right.
But, you know, since having Moose, we have definitely had some challenges with, you know, diarrhea and him not mm-hmm. eating, everything that he should, or, we had some like insecurity on walks, and I went immediately back to the book to figure out how I could correct those things or what were some of my options.
Right. So let's talk about Miles for a little bit, because he is a year and a half, right?
Yes.
Yep. And so he's a little guy. How did you prepare him for the arrival of such a big dog?
My husband and I always knew that we would have dogs in our lives. When Miles was born, we did have a dog. And when that dog passed away, when Miles was 10 months, we really were committed to making sure that Miles was exposed to dogs so that he was not fearful, but more importantly, so that he was always respectful of dogs. We were lucky and fortunate that almost all of our friends own dogs. So we would ask them, before we were even interested in adopting a greyhound, we would ask them to come over with their dogs of different sizes and different activity levels so that Miles could be exposed to them and, you know, could know and would know that it's most appropriate to pet a dog on its neck and not right on its nose or smack it on the head, and that, you know, you need a gentle touch and not to, you know, we would like him not to go up to the dog while it's sleeping, but we're getting there. But yeah, it was more, we were always exposing him to dogs. And right before we got Moose, Miles hit a very important phase where he became like a hawk for all dogs. And while he does not say any words yet, he was very adamant in saying a specific noise whenever he saw a dog, and he could find a dog 4 blocks away before you had even any sense that a dog was around. So that was another reason why we actually looked into greyhounds, was because we knew that he loved dogs and we wanted to continue to foster that, because my husband and I both think that having pets is so important to us, at least.
Yeah, well, I agree. I couldn't agree more. Yeah, we did it the opposite way of you, though. We had the greyhounds first. Then we thought, oh, let's add some kids.
And I don't think there's anything wrong with that either.
Yeah,
that
either
makes
way.
The kids immediately know how to deal with the dogs.
Right, right. So I want to go back to the adoption day. So you came, so you knew, you found out that Moose was going to be at the adoption day at the kennel where Greyhound Friends of New Jersey rents space. And you went there, and then you saw, I assume you saw Moose with his foster dad, who was Al, is that right?
Yes. So we, and being a mom of a 1.5-year-old, trying to get Miles out the door and to the adoption event on time when I live about 1 to 1.5 hours away from it, wasn't ideal. So we actually, I want to say, ended up coming in like the middle or towards the end of it, which was not what I wanted at all. I wanted to be able to have time to like meet all of the dogs and be able to really spend time with them. So we walk in, everyone is kind of talking to prospective owners, I think, or different volunteers were talking to one another, and Al was there with a dog, and I didn't realize that it was Venom at that time, or now Moose. And I'm pretty sure that I looked over and either Al started walking or Moose started walking. I think Moose was entirely enamored with the fact that my son had a pacifier with a stuffed animal on it.
Oh, yeah.
So he is likely the one that walked over to us. But I immediately bent down to, you know, introduce Miles to this dog. And as I was kind of crouched down and talking to Al and just introducing myself, Moose came over, and as I was petting him, laid his head on my arm,
oh.
Which I feel like is exactly the sign of, like, oh, no, of course I'll take you home. There was no question in my mind after that. Al could have pretty much said anything, and I was just like, this is my dog.
So it sounds like he picked you. He knew.
I hope that is the case. I hope he didn't do that to, like, every other person in there, because I would want that to be the story.
Right.
But, yeah, absolutely. I truthfully think, like, while I know that I spoke to Al for a while, I was so, like, in the back of my mind just being like, this dog is hugging me right now. So I don't even know how much I took away from poor Al.
Well, you know what? He's happy to talk to anyone. I mean, that's why we're there. So he probably loved that Moose did that. Like, this was confident and comfortable enough to walk up to Miles when he's never seen a baby, you know, or not before that moment. And he wasn't afraid of the carriage, and he felt confident enough to go to you and to give you a greyhound hug. I mean, that's just great. So when you were talking to Al, did he go through anything that Moose may have been working on?
So I can't remember if he went through anything that Moose was working on, and I don't even know if Moose really truly was working on anything. The things that we mostly talked about was, like, what is Moose's schedule right now at your home? What are the hours that you work? What are the hours that he will have to get adjusted to? Al did let me know, because we did have an incident where Moose immediately took the pacifier out of my son's mouth.
Oh, no. Oh, my goodness. I didn't know that. Oh.
Yeah. My son is happy to share anything, especially if it's something from his mouth. So he was fine with it. And Moose was quick to give it back.
But that
was one thing that Al said, was like, you know, he's never been around babies. He definitely likes stuffed animals, so that's one thing you have to be aware of. Al taught me how to do the Linda Lyman loop on the leash.
Yep.
Because I asked to, we were in a fenced-in yard, but I asked to take Moose on a walk because I did want to see how he reacted while I was pushing the stroller.
And I assume he passed the test, right?
He did amazing. Amazing. Also, I was one that was, like, trying to encourage him. And Al, you know, corrected me and said, nope, you don't have to say anything. Just walk. You need to be the leader. He needs to be the follower. So we did that. We walked around. Moose was comfortable in following. We were twisting and turning. And to this day, he is phenomenal when we walk with the stroller. He walks right next to him. He doesn't care that Miles is constantly trying to pet him through the stroller.
Nice.
He's great with it. No fear there.
So did you have any questions for Al aside from schedule, or, like, did you ask questions about, like, his food or anything else?
I did. I asked questions about his food because I wanted to continue what food you had been feeding him.
Sure.
Because I didn't, he already has to deal with coming into a new environment. He already has to deal with, you know, being around a 1.5-year-old. I didn't want to also have to make him deal with changing food.
Right.
So I asked those things. I asked what time he was fed. I asked little things like, Moose happens to have an amputated tail. So I asked, had there been any observation of sensitivity around his tail? Because that's another thing that I have to be concerned about is, yes, I can try to teach Miles how to be respectful of the dog, what areas are nice to pet, what areas, you know, you should avoid. But ultimately, he is a 1.5-year-old. Yep. Who is going to test the boundaries. And one of the boundaries that is very easy to test is grabbing or petting or tugging on a tail. So with the amputation, I very much needed to be cognizant of this dog might have hypersensitivity to his tail, and is it something that we need to be concerned about?
Right. And do you remember how Al responded about the tail?
Yes, Al said that you guys had observed nothing, and then actually took Moose's tail to show me where it was amputated, and the dog had no reaction whatsoever, which
yeah.
is fantastic. The same is true for Moose's feet. That was another thing I asked, and I asked how he was with having his mouth handled. All of those things were Al was, you know, quick to say, no, he's totally fine, and here, let me show you.
But that was a great question to ask about the tail and sensitivity, because some of them may have sensitivity to a tail when it's been amputated. So you decide Moose is the dog that you want, and you complete the paperwork that needs to get done. Were you given any kind of guidance at that point from the volunteers that were at the adoption day?
Absolutely. So I will say that you, Al first, and then you were the one that filled out the paperwork. I'm sorry, this feels like I am just broad-nosing to you right now. But you
oh, I'll take
so
it.
Helpful to me in the fact that, you know, you explained not only what food you were giving him, but why you were giving him that food, and what toys he had been using, and how he had been interacting with your dogs. And you also let me know things like, you know, while it is very, very difficult, here is the importance of why you should really ignore the dog for the first couple of days. And that doesn't mean that you can't touch the dog, but it does mean that, like, you shouldn't shower the dog with attention, that it's very much like a transactional behavior in the first couple of days, and to not change your schedule. It's very easy to say, I have a new dog, I want to spend time with him, I'm going to work from home, but that you need to get the dog on a schedule that you're going to maintain for a long period of time and for longevity. Thank you for all of that first and foremost, but you were really the one who set the standards and reinforced everything that I had read in the website and the books.
When we adopted our first Greyhound, he wasn't from Greyhound Friends of New Jersey. He was from a good group, but they didn't really prepare us with some tips. I had had a dog when I was 7 years old for about 6 months, and then my parents found a new home for him, but that's a whole other story. And there's a book about it, actually, but I digress. But they didn't prepare us. Like, you know, we had this dog and we took him home, and, you know, I knew some stuff, and Al had had a dog growing up, but not a greyhound. Like, the one thing that they told us was how much to feed him and be careful with doors. Like, that was just drilled into our heads, which is a good thing. Nothing else. And when we took the dog home, he had separation anxiety. He chewed up a lot of things, and we reached out to the group for some guidance, and they really didn't have much to tell us about it. So, you know, we ended up playing it by ear. And 17 years ago, there wasn't Facebook. Of course, there was internet, which is where we found some information, and of course from our vet. But but I'd like to, like, give people a foundation to go on when they bring home a dog from Greyhound Friends, because I don't want to leave them hanging in the lurch, and I also want people to know that Greyhound Friends is committed to them and their dog for the life of that dog. So, you know, Denny, you could call me, you know, 10 years from now and say, oh, Moose is, I don't know, he's countersurfing all of a sudden. and I would talk to you about that, and we'd come up with a plan to help him work that out. And if it wasn't me doing that, it would be any one of the board members of Greyhound Friends of New Jersey who would walk you through that. So it's one of the reasons I love the group, and I think I say this in just about every episode of the podcast, you know, that we are there for the adopters. And I think most Greyhound adoption groups are. It's a really great community overall. So,
yeah, and I will say one of the things that you and Al very much helped me with, which was, you know, completely new from anything that I had read, was how to get moose into the car.
Yes.
And how to be careful when opening the doors. Because I had heard, you know, be careful about opening doors. But I never translated that to be careful of opening your hatch on your SUV.
Yeah. Yeah, it's... you know, and I know you know this, but for the audience, I'll just say, and I say this a lot on the podcast too, but it's so important. A racing greyhound has been trained to bolt, to go as fast as he or she possibly can when a door opens, the door being the racing gate. It's a mental trigger. So we have to be very careful with any door, like you said, Danny, the hatch on your car, the car door, a sliding door in your house or the front door or whatever it is. It is definitely a trigger, and that's their training. That's what's been put into their minds and their brains and how they work. So, I have a 13-year-old greyhound, even him, you know, it's funny because around the house, he's definitely an old man, but when we have a fenced yard, once he gets out there, he is running like he's, you know, a 4-year-old. It's quite amazing. So doors, like, that's a real important thing. So I'm glad that he was able to talk to you about that. So Danny, you told me something funny. You said that your husband said, "I trust you." So, and I'm not sure what the exact wording was, but "I trust you to come home with, you know, a great dog." Like, he had full faith in you. How did he react when you came home with Moose?
So, yeah. So my husband was unable to come to the adoption event. But as I said, you know, he was chomping at the bit for a dog. As soon as we realized that, like, Greyhound was something that was feasible for us, my husband wanted a dog, like, immediately. We quickly realized that we just are not a family that can be without a dog. Back when we were younger and we got Baxter, I actually was the one that found Baxter, and my husband and I weren't living together at the time. We were in college. We were dating. I brought this dog home, and he fell in love. So I think that kind of set me up for a good track record.
Right.
But yes, my husband pretty much said, like, if you find a dog that you like, bring it home. Like, no questions asked. Absolutely, I trust you. Bring this dog home. So when I left the adoption agency, or the adoption day, I called my husband to tell him that we were on our way home, and the first question was, "Is it just you and Miles?" And I took a pause and said, "Nope, we have someone else with us." And he immediately was like, "I'm gonna go to the pet store right now. What does he need? Does he need toys?" Like, so excited. And as soon as I took Moose out of the car, like, I just saw it in my husband's eyes. He was in love.
Oh, you gave me goosebumps. Oh, that's so great. So love at first sight.
Absolutely. And his phone is now just full of, like, selfies of the two of them cuddling on the couch.
That is fantastic. I love that. So take me through when you first get home after he meets your husband, and that night, how did that go?
So I think I should actually take you to just a mile down the road after leaving you, because this is something I was unprepared for. I have an SUV,
yes.
And we put Moose in the back. A mile down the road, Moose has stepped over the back seat, is straddling the back seat and the trunk.
Oh my gosh.
And I'm all of a sudden like, I don't know what to do. He is now next to Miles. I don't really know if he likes Miles yet. I don't want him obviously standing like that, sure. because what if we come to an abrupt stop goes flying? So I had to pull over into a gas station. Could not convince Moose to go forward, so actually had to fold the back seats down to be able to get him out of the car, put him in the front seat with his bed, finally got him, like, comfortable, and he rode the rest of the ride home with his hand on my lap and his nose in the cup holder.
Oh, my gosh. That's so cute. Oh, my God. He just wanted to be near his mom.
Absolutely. And I remember calling my husband and being like, well, ignoring him is out the window. I've been touching him this whole time. So that was the first thing. That is also another thing that my husband immediately took care of. He ordered one of the adjustable gates that goes in the back to partition the trunk space of our SUV from the cab of the car. So Moose now has a safe place to stay when he's going in the car with us.
Yeah, and I highly recommend them. I don't have an SUV. I have a crossover, which is like a glorified station wagon. I put a gate in my car after I was on the turnpike doing 85 miles an hour, and a foster I was taking home from the kennel all of a sudden had his front paws on my console. I was by myself. And I said, oh boy, you know, unfortunately I was close to a rest area and pulled off. And I don't remember how I situated the dog at that point, but that happens to you once, you know? and that's scary. So immediately I put a gate in the car, and you're so right, just for safety, because you're right. If you have to slam on the brakes, that dog is flying right over the seats, right into you, could go through the windshield. It could be awful. And also, you know, I'm sure you'll often have miles in the car. And the same, like when my kids were younger, you know, I didn't want the, you know, I wanted to keep the dogs. I'd muzzle my dogs in the car because there's always at least two of them in there. And if one steps on the other, or some kind of tiff breaks out, I don't want them biting each other, you know. So they're muzzled, but I do worry about them with my kids, you know, sitting in the next row. So so the gate helps with that as well. So yeah, I highly recommend those for SUVs and crossovers like I have.
Yeah, wholeheartedly agree, because to your point, that happened once, and you have a panic moment of, oh God, how am I going to contain this giant dog?
Yes.
and you don't want it to happen again. But yeah, after I got him home, and, you know, Tony had a complete breakdown of how happy he was, we did our best to just go about our daily business. So because we have miles, we do have gates throughout our bottom half.
Yep.
So both he and Miles were confined to the downstairs with us, and we put Moose in the kitchen just so that he didn't have to worry about Miles running around, didn't have to worry about potentially, you know, walking on Miles' toys or trying to eat Miles' toys. Wanted him to have a safe space where he wasn't going to be handled. And quickly we realized that, like, oh, he did want to be around with us. He was very antsy in the kitchen. So we let him out, and we put his bed down, and he quickly laid on his bed. the one thing that we did have to do, which this was a little anxiety-ridden in me because this was a new dog that we were bringing in, we needed to take off his muzzle rather early because he kept sniffing Miles, and the muzzle is hard plastic.
Yes.
So he was scaring Miles and not intending to at all.
Right.
So that was something where we had to take the muzzle off, and I'm pretty sure what we did was we leashed him whenever Miles got close to him so that we could be in an area where if something did happen, we could quickly pull him away.
Right.
But I am thankful to say he was phenomenal and continues to be phenomenal with Miles.
Yeah, and those muzzles, while they do provide safety, they hurt when they
hurt a lot.
Yes, they do. So that night when he's home, how did that go?
The night went fine. He slept in his own bed in our room, right next to my side of the bed. I could tell he was restless though. So whenever I moved, his head was up. And he was ready to go. When I got out of bed to go to the bathroom, he was following me.
Yep.
And that happened probably for like 2.5 weeks. He has just been my shadow.
Yeah.
And after the 2.5 week mark is when he finally felt comfortable to, like, I would get up to go to the bathroom and he didn't have to follow me.
Right.
He could just watch me from his bed. But that first night, it kind of broke my heart that I was like, I don't want to move because I don't want this dog to panic all of a sudden. But he did. He, you know, stayed in his bed through the night. There was no crying. There was no whining.
That's
were no accidents. The next day, however,
uh-oh,
we did have some issues with accidents. And that was, I don't blame him whatsoever. I think it was something that we came to the realization of, this is a situation that deals with greyhounds. They are let into pens to go to the bathroom. We are now asking him to exclusively go to the bathroom on a leash, which he is not used to.
Right.
So the next morning, I took him on a, like, 25-minute walk, and he didn't go to the bathroom at all because he was seeing that as, I am working, I am going on a walk, this is what I do.
Yep.
So I, you know, the second I let him back in the house, there he was going to the bathroom. And that happened about 5 times that day.
Oh, my goodness.
But every time we caught him, we obviously, you know, were quick to reprimand him and rush him outside.
Yep.
And we also very much gave praise any time there was a bathroom breakdown outside.
You know, you bring up a great point that many people aren't aware of, and that is that the greyhound, racing greyhounds, you're right, when they're on their leads at the track, in training and everything else, they are working. They are let out, I think it's about 5 times a day where they're not leashed, and that's when they're doing their business. So it's very foreign to them to go on to go to the bathroom while they're on a lead. Now, some of them, they don't care. They just, they just do it. And others, it takes them some getting used to, like, oh, this is a new thing. Okay. But fortunately, greyhounds catch on pretty quickly. Like, they're pretty intelligent dogs. So most of them will get it right away. Were there any other corrections that you needed to do with him over those first few days? And how did that go?
There were a couple corrections that we needed to do. We caught him counter surfing once. We did have some further incidences with pacifiers. There was a slight, like, whining in the crate instance, but he is very quick to understand and respond well to reprimands. And by reprimands, I mean just, like, a quick, like, hey,
right,
knock it off. Like,
right.
He is quick to understand that. Truthfully, it's kind of hard because we are usually using the same language with Miles of, like, hey, don't touch that. And it's kind of, at this point, it's like, which one are we talking to? So they're now, like, both looking at me when I say anything like that. But he responded really, and has responded well to just those quick things. For the bathroom incidences, we were careful to not yell at him for anything we didn't see. So that, of course, is, like, frustrating when you,
yes,
come into your living room and there is a pile of poop there. But
yep,
I can't yell at him now because I don't know if he did that 5 minutes ago or if he just did that. And if I yell at him now, does he know it's about the thing he did 5 minutes ago?
Right. And when you say yell, I think what you mean is, like, giving him the hey correction or whatever,
yeah,
your correction word is. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. The quick, yeah, the quick, you know.
Hey!
Yep.
I know it well. So when Moose lived with us for a few weeks as a foster, he did well when we weren't home because we were at work or shopping or, you know, the kids are in school. But he was here with other dogs, at least two. But I think most of the time there were three other dogs here. So now he's an only dog. How did it go the first time that your family went out for the day and he was home alone?
So we didn't have a lot of time to prepare him for that. In all of the books, it kind of says, you know, and we use the crate when we're gone. So it says, you know, make sure that you're putting him in the crate but not leaving right away because you don't want him to associate crate with leaving. We were able to do that exercise once before we had to leave because we adopted him and actually brought him home, I want to say around like 3 p.m. on a Sunday, and we had to work the next day. So it was, I think we did the exercise with him once. He whined, he cried. We were, you know, quick to give him that quick hey and reprimand and kind of cut the behavior off as soon as possible.
Right.
And then the next day it was, I put him in his crate and got Miles ready and then left and kind of crossed my fingers that he wouldn't drive my neighbors insane. But he, according to my neighbor, he says that he did fantastic. My neighbor works from home that day. And he said mixed things. The first time I asked, he said he never heard Moose at all. I think the second time I asked, he said, like, I think I heard him once. But regardless, there was no complaints coming. So yeah, it kind of just has worked. I think it's a huge benefit that he came crate trained, obviously.
Right. So what has surprised you the most about having a greyhound as part of your family?
Has surprised me the most is not anything to do with the greyhound. It's my husband and I's perception. So when we brought Moose into our house, like the first reaction was, I think, hysterical laughter at how gigantic he is. Because he I am 5'6". He stands at my hip.
Yeah.
With his head up. He is a very large dog. And we have a pup size dining room table. He is eye level with that. He is eye level with Miles's high chair. He easily can steal Miles's food. So that was just so jarring to us of how large he is.
Yeah.
It is now a month later, and I remember just the other night looking at him curled up on the couch and being like, he's so tiny. So it's that perception of he went from this big monster, which I didn't understand how he could fit into this house, to like, oh no, he's part of that and he fits perfectly. And I think another thing of dealing with perceptions was how quickly it just seemed that we forgot that he was new. He just seems as though he's always been here and that we're not in a transition period. Though I know we very much are. Like, we're still trying to get some personality out of him and still getting him comfortable with the noises of the house and everything.
Sure.
But it just feels like the way he comes up and cuddles us on the couch, just like,
aww.
Yeah, he's a part of the family and he always has been.
Yeah, they, greyhounds are very, very adaptable. It never ceases to amaze me. And I mean, I get to experience this all the time because we foster and we'll take the greyhounds that arrive in New Jersey straight from the racetracks and we bring them home. They've never been in the house before. You know, we show them around and do a few other things like showing them stairs, which they've never seen, showing them glass, which they've, you know, windows and glass doors and glass furniture, which they've never seen. And we really only have to do, with the exception of the stairs, these things once to show them how things work and where things are. And then they just kind of find a bed, because we've got dog beds everywhere, and lay down, and it's like they've always been there, and they fall right into the routine. Like, it's truly amazing. I mean, are there some that struggle with it? Sure, there's some that do. There's some that are pretty anxious, but for the most part, they're such easygoing dogs and really seem to fit right in. So I'm not surprised that you say that about him. Like, it seems like he's been there the whole time and part of the family. It's just how they are. They just want to be with you. They want to be with their pack, which of course is you and Tony and Miles, and show you how much they love you, and they'll eat up the love you give them like crazy. So, yeah, that's really great. Let's say that someone you know approached you and said that they were considering adopting a greyhound. What kind of advice would you give them?
So the advice that I would give to someone is actually, or the first advice that I would give to someone is what I would give to anyone that was adopting across breeds. And that is to take the initial personality of the dog a little bit with a grain of salt.
Yeah.
You are meeting a dog that is a little bit out of its element. It doesn't have a regular schedule. It is going to come off a little bit timid. That dog needs time and security to be able to blossom and show its true colors. And that's something that I have seen with, you know, the dogs that I've adopted in the past and what I'm currently seeing with Moose. Is every day we're seeing a little bit more of him that is so different than when we first brought him home, and he's getting more comfortable. So it's don't immediately write off some of those more standoffish dogs just because you want a dog who is going to, you know, love you and shower you with kisses. Doesn't mean that that dog that is a little standoffish at the adoption day isn't going to do that. And then the other thing I would say is go ahead and do it. They're fantastic.
I love that you said that because it's so true about these dogs.
And another thing I will add to that is anyone who is thinking about adopting and has kids, you can't take my advice with you know, such freedom. There does have to be another level of monitoring that dog, and you have to go off first impressions a little more closely. But one of the things that I do want to mention that I'm so grateful for is during the adoption day, you and Sue and Linda allowed me to let Miles out of his stroller, run around, be a kid,
yep,
squeal with excitement, run up to the dogs, run away from the dogs, and you all focused on what was Moose's body language, how was he reacting, what are any indications that would say he is, you know, completely adverse to Miles or is okay with this. And we were fortunate in the fact that his body language was pretty much like, I don't care about this child one way or the other. He can be in my environment or he can. It's really not making a difference to me. and I'm so thankful for that.
I said this before. I just want to reiterate that at Greyhound Friends of New Jersey, we really consider ourselves to be a very supportive community, not just the board members, but the adopters as well. And like I said, we are there to support our adopters for the life of any dog or dogs that they adopt from us. So I know it's only been about a month, but I did want to ask you what your experience with Greyhound Friends of New Jersey has been so far.
It has been fantastic. So I mentioned before that I had joined the Facebook group, and day one, I got Moose home and realized, like, oh, I don't know how high to put his food bowls. I would suspect that they need to be elevated because he is rather large, and, you know, it looks uncomfortable if it's on the floor. So the first thing I did was I went and I, you know, just asked a simple question of, you know, I'm reading some different things on whether or not greyhounds are prone to bloat and whether or not they should have elevated bowls or should not. What is everyone's thought on this? And I can't even remember how many comments I got, but I do know it was at least over 160 comments.
Oh, holy cow.
People responding and being, one, not only telling me, like, what they were doing, but thanking me for adopting and welcoming me into the community and, you know, saying how excited they were for the dog. And at that point, we didn't have a name for him. He was still going by Venom. So with that support, I later went back on the Facebook group to let everyone know that he had a new name. And that, again, was met with, you know, such welcoming comments of love the new name, you know, so glad you have a family, Moose. All these things that make us, me and my husband, feel so good and, like, accomplished. So, yeah, we have cheerleaders behind us who also are excited as we are that we have this dog in our lives.
Yeah, it's a very passionate group. So, yeah, you can throw out a question as innocuous as, what kind of food bowls, what kind of feeders, and you'll get a million different opinions and but friendly. There's no debating. It's like, here's what I do and why. And yeah, we're definitely very passionate about our greyhounds and the different things that we do to help them through their lives. So that's great, and I'm glad that you had that very positive experience, and I know that it will continue. And I know your family is not geographically close to most of our events, but I do hope that you guys are able to at least experience some of those, like our picnics and our craft show and a bunch of other things we do. It's a lot of fun seeing everybody and all the greyhounds. You know, I always get a kick out of that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know my husband and I are interested in, you're right, it's not super, super close for us, but right. I think the more thing is scheduling, because we do have work and miles and everything. But no, we want to be able to show everyone the progress that Moose has made.
Yeah.
Because as I alluded to before, he is having some issues. He's very thin, and we're trying to put some weight on him. So as that transition happens, I definitely want, you know, him to be shown off and everyone to see the progress that he's made.
Right. And Danny, I know that you and I are going to be discussing the issue that he's having now and whatever answers I don't have. The beauty of having such a large group behind us is that someone else will, that I'll be able to connect you with. So, so I'm looking forward to having that conversation with you offline as well. Danny, thank you so much for sharing your adoption experience with us and the About Greyhounds audience. Your story really will help inform others who plan to follow the same path that you recently have. And on a personal note, I could not be happier that our foster boy found his way to you and your family. My family truly does fall in love with each and every one of our fosters. When they're adopted by kind people like you, we really could not be more overjoyed for you, and especially the greyhounds that find their way to their own homes. Thank you for today's About Greyhound conversation, and especially for making Moose a part of your family.
Oh my gosh, thank you for fostering him, and thank you for the whole process and, you know, the Greyhound Friends of New Jersey as a whole for approving our application, because he is a welcomed addition, and myself, my husband, and especially Miles is absolutely head over heels for him.
Beautiful. With Danny, and I hope you like listening to it. My hope is that it is insightful for someone who is thinking about adopting a greyhound, so you could, through Danny's experience, know what some of the things are you might be able to expect when you bring your greyhound home for the first time. At Greyhound Friends of New Jersey, we are dedicated to helping to bring greyhounds from their careers into their retirements, into loving homes. Of course, all of this takes a lot of time, a lot of volunteers, dedication, and money. If you've been enjoying this series or enjoyed this episode in particular, please consider donating to Greyhound Friends of New Jersey at gfnj.org. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.